Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics. In this weekly show, the Husker Online team will give you the latest insight on Husker football, basketball, baseball, and of course, recruiting. Now, here's your host, Husker Online publisher, Sean Callahan.
Hello here and welcome again to another edition of the Husker Online show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washit. The news never stops, and we've had already, it's Tuesday, we're taping here for you guys, and quite a week. We had the introductory press conference to athletic director Troy Dannon, featured interim president Chris Kabarik, chairman of the Board of Regents Rob Schaefer, who represents the Lincoln Beatrice, Southeast Nebraska area, and then obviously you had Governor Jim Pillen involved as they welcomed in Nebraska's new athletic director, Troy Dannon. And, you know, Sipple, unfortunately, we've been to a lot of introductory AD press conferences over the last several years because we've seen a lot of turnover. But this one, it had a good feel to it. I mean,
yeah, I had a good feel right off the bat. You know what I liked about him? I didn't even think about this till I was just reading my very copious note-taking. He started off, Troy Dannon, by asking, how's your week? Which is, which is kind of nice, you know? Not everybody does that, you know? Not many people during the week ask me how my day's going. And it was nice, his first thought was everybody else when he was the center of attention. So I like that about him. Yeah, it was good. These coronations are a little overwrought.
This one was like one of the more
fine.
It's the first time they, Robin, divided it up into kind of two deals.
Mm-hmm. Deals.
Usually the media thing would kind of follow the public part of it.
Yeah.
But it was you had about 23 minutes of speeches from the president.
just
keeping track.
From the
president, Rob Schaefer, and the governor. Then they went
to Troy Dannon.
And then that ended, and then he came down to the media room. So they separated that, and usually it would kind of all be one kind of big deal, but his message, Robin, was strong, I thought, in both.
Yeah, and so he kind of laid the groundwork for what he wanted his first formal public message to Nebraska's fan base and all of his employees now. Got that out of the way and then kind of followed up with it, and as you would expect, I think the real meat of what he had to say happened in the actual press conference setting where he talked about the stadium renovation project. He talked about his relationship with Matt Rhule, just the how it came about that he took this job. The fact that at 3:51 in the morning on the dot Pacific time, he submitted his DocuSign form to officially take the Nebraska job, and like a day after, that was last Wednesday, he gets on a plane, heads to Lincoln to check out a football practice, heads to Memphis to check out the basketball team, the men's team, and then to Corvallis for the women's team. So it's been quite the ride for him, kind of culminated with today's press conference. And, you know, while it was, you know, I guess a bit of a different ceremony today, I thought that his message accomplished what he needed to accomplish. And I think Nebraska fans can relate and respond to and kind of gather around the message that he was trying to convey. You know, that even though he's from Iowa, he considers Nebraska home because he's a Midwestern guy. He's about what he feels Nebraska's about, and it's kind of a natural fit on both sides.
And Sip, one of those messages was pretty simple. Emphasis on NIL, which was a lot different than Trev Albert's in terms of publicly recognizing the collective and almost publicly wanting to work directly, represent the collective, knowing its importance, which I know both you and I, we were both really captivated by that part of Troy Dannon.
It's an incredible contrast to Trev. I thought that was a hole in Trev's game, his unwillingness to either publicly or privately really acknowledge 1890. Yes, he did a few times, like on his radio show a couple times, but there's always a hesitancy to do so for whatever odd reason.
We tried to have a competing collective for the last 2 years mm-hmm. to go against 1890.
It was a prime example, and there have been many, of Nebraska internally working against itself, which I think helps explain the nosedive of the football program, just that internal, there's always internal weirdness. And that was internal weirdness. It was a personality thing probably between Trev and somebody. And yeah, this right away, so what this new AD says, I'm going to wear 1890 gear as much as I wear Nebraska gear. I mean, it was almost startling to hear him say mm-hmm. that. But here's why. It's a simple thing. This place is not going anywhere unless you retain and recruit and retain the best talent out there. It'll go nowhere. We don't even need to exist if they can't get the talent in here that they need. And that's what it is right now. For the next couple years, it'll still be collectives in charge of getting talent. Why would your AD stiff-arm that part of the operation? Why? Other than just a personality quirk, conflict, whatever it was.
When you have people that were supporting it in the Pede family at a level almost like nowhere else in the country.
Right. So, yeah, so he isn't the new AD. Troy Dannon is embracing it, which he explained why. Because the number one commitment, this is what Troy Dannon said, our number one commitment is to the student-athlete. Which begs a question, by the way. If your number one commitment is to the student-athlete, are you going to build a $450 million, or are you going to renovate the stadium for $450 million? Mm-hmm. Does nothing.
And hold that thought, because I want to talk more
in depth for the student-athlete
about the stadium in our next segment. So hold that thought, because right. I want to
yes, that's fine.
Go more in depth on that. But you're right. I mean, that stadium discussion is real, and I think it's going to get real very quickly.
He didn't know about it. Which was interesting.
Or he might have played the Babe in the Wood Steve Sipple there.
I don't think so. He wasn't briefed. We'll get into this. He wasn't briefed on it, which is telling to me.
Yeah, he didn't want to go to any detail on that.
Well, he wasn't briefed.
Because he didn't know.
On it. Yeah. They didn't. They might have thought, let's not do that. Let's not tell him. It might scare him away.
So with your comment about his kind of stance on the NIL roster retention and, as he said, putting students and student athletes at the forefront of the new economic model of college athletics, essentially going to be pay for play at some point, probably down the road.
Yeah.
And so he pair what he said with what Matt Rhule said he wanted in an athletic director,
which was
someone's going to be proactive, aggressive, someone that is going to be at the forefront of everything that's happening in this changing landscape. What did Dan say? He said, we're going to be at the forefront of everything that's changing in the college athletics landscape. And NIL starts and is the clear top priority in that discussion.
And guys, let's not kid ourselves. Matt Rhule was as big with this hire as anybody because this AD, it was a priority that it's somebody that Rhule wants to work with, wants to be here with. Nebraska is financially committed to Matt Rhule at a high, high level.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to have a boss or a partner that he wants to work with. And yep. Troy Dannon was probably one of the first names Matt Rhule recommended. I did also find it interesting how involved the governor is. He's not a regent anymore. He's not involved in the athletic department, but he was heavily involved in this thing, clearly. I mean, he spoke mm-hmm. at the press conference. He was at the media event as well.
He sold Dannon on the job. I mean, they talked.
I mean, he was a key figure in all of this, obviously.
Well, and I think so. Now, I gotta be careful. I don't know if Pillen talked to Dannon on the phone after he took the job or before he took it.
One Rhule has mentioned that he talks to Pillen quite a bit, Governor Pillen.
Yeah, the governor's heavily involved. As far as Rhule and Dannon go, that relationship goes all the way back to Rhule at Temple. And Dannon knows.
From Tulane.
Dannon was at Tulane, and Dannon is friends with Kraft.
Pat Kraft. Now the AD of Penn State.
Yeah, so now, Pat Kraft and Troy Dannon are friends. Rhule is friends with both of them. Maybe Dannon would say to Kraft, you're not taking my coach. You wouldn't do that to a friend.
Right? Maybe.
I mean, you never know. I don't know. But anyway,
James Franklin, where's he going to go?
Yeah.
He's got a seat at the adult table, as Troy Dannon said.
He would just have to coach his way out of the job.
And with a 14-team playoff coming,
yeah,
you're going to be in the playoff 5 out of 6 years at Penn State.
Ooh, I wonder about that. Now, I get what you're saying.
Well, 3 or 4 Big Ten teams make it. Penn State's going to be usually one of those 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And so if you have access to the playoff now in this new expanded model, you know, a job like Penn State's, you're not leaving.
Well, here's a question, though, Sean. If Penn State's the third team or the second Big Ten team, is Nebraska ever going to be in that playoff?
I mean, they got to get to 9. They got to get to 9-3. Right. 10-2, you're in, I think, for sure.
Right. They want to bump Penn State out of there. Nebraska wants to bump Penn State out.
Yeah, I mean, they've got.
And then Franklin gets fired and the job opens. You can't win sometimes.
But then Nebraska's a college football playoff team.
Yeah,
so why
true.
Would you leave?
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
why would you leave? Why
hold that thought, because I want to talk more about Troy Dannon. I want to talk more about the stadium project, because that, to me, is as big of a box that needs to be unpacked now with the leadership of Nebraska, because it affects over 22,000 season ticket holders for possibly at least 2 seasons.
Yeah.
And it's a price tag of building a skyscraper. In fact, the Mutual Omaha downtown building is a $600 million project. We think that this project really is probably about that same price.
$600 million,
they say $450 million, but that's without the finishes and all the bells and whistles. So when Troy Dannon gets into this, does he want to build a Mutual Omaha skyscraper? We'll share our thoughts on that.
It didn't sound like it.
He just wants to win games.
Yeah, how about that?
We'll share our thoughts on that next. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show. It's March, and there's no better time of year right now to lock into all the college basketball action. Hi, Sean Callahan with the Husker Online Show, and with March Madness here, Prize Picks makes it so much fun to lock into all the action. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America, and it is so fun and easy to win with Prize Picks. You simply just pick between 2 to 6 player stat projections, simply if they'll be more or less than the number. You can take $10, you can make it up to $1,000 simply with 2 taps. You can combine sports, not only basketball right now, you can do hockey, whatever sport you want to do. You can find the projection that you think you know the best, combo those picks up, and watch the winnings come in. And we've got a great special right now here running for our Husker Online listeners on Prize Picks. If you've never done it before, download the app, use promo code Husker on that first deposit. They're going to match your first $100. So put $100 in, they'll match $100 by using promo code Husker at Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
You're listening to the Husker Online Show, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washed, as we talk more about Troy Dannon. What's next now at Nebraska? As we get into that discussion, the segment of the Husker Online Show brought to you by nuts.com. And we just got another shipment in the office. And I can confirm
where?
That Stephen M. Sipple has ripped through all the good nuts and left Robin and I more the plain nuts. That's okay, though.
I don't know if that's true.
It's unbelievable.
I don't know if it's true.
Those clusters lasted like 45 minutes.
The bourbon pecans, I'm going to hide them next time. In fact, I got a desk drawer here. I'm going to keep them in there next time.
There's some accusations that are flying around that I'm not altogether comfortable with.
But there you go, the bourbon pecans. That bag, if you get one, go big, because actually you can buy 5-pound bags, 20-pound bags.
Get a 20-pounder.
It's a little pricey on the 20-pound case. But $465 for the 20-pound case. Let's see if that makes it through the football season.
There you go, sir.
I'm going to roll in with that next time. Just get your reaction.
How are you going to roll in with it, though? You'll have to use like a dolly.
20-pound case of nuts. But
dolly.
We got a great special. And, you know, we love Nuts.com, their products. We've been on with them since football season. We know you do, because we hear from Nuts.com. They said, man, your users have really taken advantage of the offer. And if you've never got it, we are going to give you a great deal. Not only are you going to get free shipping, but go to Nuts.com/Husker. Spend $29. You'll get free shipping and a free gift, which is generally a bag of nuts, cashews, or something like that. So $29, spend it, your first order, you'll get a free bag of nuts as well as free shipping. That's nuts.com/Husker. Thank you again to nuts.com for sponsoring us here on the Husker Online Show. Okay.
Okay.
Let's get into the real discussion on this Memorial Stadium thing. Okay. Because, you know, as you guys know, I've been very interested in this story because you know, I've spent a lot of time in Memorial Stadium. It's a big part of my life. I grew up sitting in South Stadium. We talk to Husker fans all across the state all the time. And this is a big deal. I mean, they want to tear it all down. It could be 2 full years, which if you're, you know, talking about it like this, it'd be Dylan Raiola's sophomore junior year where 22,500 people may not have seats if they go forward with this project. But the big thing is the money, and they needed to raise $225 million privately. Mm-hmm. They hired the Nebraska Philanthropic Trust to do that for them. They paid them $5.6 million to lead the fundraising.
God dang.
Privately, away from the foundation, away from the development office. And, you know, when Troy Dannon gets under the hood and learn some of these things, it's going to be interesting to hear what his thoughts are.
Yeah, one thing we learned. We learned a lot today, and one thing we learned is that he needs to get up to speed on this project. He said, quote, and I love this, "I really don't know anything about it, quite honestly." that was, I think, telling that they would maybe I'm reading too much into it. You guys can slow me my roll if I am. But the fact they didn't tell him about it, to me, is telling. There's a $600 million project is what mm-hmm. we're going to call it. And they didn't tell the man they hired that there was that sitting out there.
And he accepted the job almost a week ago.
Right.
Still doesn't have any frame of reference on what's happening with that.
He said there could be a meeting. He said there's a meeting maybe as early as Thursday. Today is Tuesday. That he said that I would try to learn a little bit about it. He did say it'll be something I get myself up to speed on very quickly. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, Chris Kaborek, and again, we learned stuff today. Kaborek led this hire. I mean, it was his hire, the interim president. I thought maybe that they would have involved Gold. Jeffrey Gold, who was just named the president in waiting. He was just
the choice candidate or whatever you
choice,
want to call it.
Yeah. But it was Kaborek. And he didn't brief Dannon on the project at all during the hiring process. So, yeah, again, you're walking into a situation where we've heard that the fundraising hasn't gone well. So now what do you do? What do you do?
I thought the other thing he said that was interesting, Robin, was, "I'm going to look at things. How does this help us win?" Mm-hmm. And I thought that was like the tea leaf of tea leaves right there.
No doubt.
How does spending $450 million right now in today's climate help us win?
Does it help win, Rob?
Well, and pair that with the point that we were making earlier about how much of an emphasis he's putting on NIL. Like, where do you want that money to go to? Would you rather have nicer bathrooms and better concessions in South Stadium, or would you rather pay for top flight players that are helping you win championships?
I'll tell you what, if Rule wins 10 games or Nebraska football
wins, money will come.
Well, not only that, but comfort becomes a secondary discussion mm-hmm. behind euphoria. And Sean understands this because he knows people sitting at South Stadium. Fan comfort is important, and South Stadium's not up to date. It hasn't been up to date.
Is there a way to address some of these things?
Can you scale back the project is what I would recommend. Nobody's asked me, by the way. I would scale it back and maybe do what you can with South Stadium, maybe for $200 million.
They want to connect the concourse, and I get that.
I get it. Because
right now, east, west, and north are connected. South is its own island.
Maybe you could do that for $200 million.
That's the problem. I don't know if you can, because it's not built into South. It's its own standing, and I don't know how. I think a lot of smart people have looked at this, and I don't know if it's possible.
Yeah,
and
I think the infrastructure won't allow it. Like,
well, Rob, back to the question: does it help Nebraska win? Because he asked that question. He said that's the criteria you use with all your decisions. Does it help you win? I don't know that it does.
It helps you know, long term, bring people to games, because fan experience is a big part of it.
It is,
especially when you're fighting people that can sit on their couch in front of a 70-inch TV and not have to go through all the rigmarole of going to a game, and you know, can just have a better game experience. You're competing against that. People are paying a lot of money and going through a lot of hassle to come to games, and so once they get there, you want them to have as much reason to come beyond what's happening on the field. I mean, where it's not a huge pain in the butt to go to the bathroom or to get some food, where you're missing an entire quarter getting concessions for your family. You know, like those are the types of things that I think you can still address, like you said, Skip, on a much smaller scale than completely revamping the entire stadium.
The problem with South, though, is you have 98 rows. And I know that because I sat in row 88. And there's nothing up there. Like, you have to go all the way down to go to the bathroom. You have to go all the way down to hit a concession line.
It's not easy.
So it's a tough deal.
It is. If you're 78 years old, it's a real tough deal.
To get up that ramp or those – so there's a lot of issues there with that. But if you win, all of a sudden you figure out a way to get comfortable up there.
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough. And I recognize the other side of it, guys. The fans are – the student athletes are a priority. The fans are pretty close to the second, probably number two priority. The fans are what make this place. Well, and Sean emphasizes that all the time. Rob, you saw it in Memphis. Think about what you saw in Memphis.
Incredible.
Always take care of the fans. Mm-hmm. Always take care of the fans. Nebraska has to be the envy of most places in the country, all but a few. What you saw in Memphis was incredible. They took over Memphis. Nebraska fans. They took over Beale Street. They took over the arena. You don't see. And no, you didn't see that from Houston.
Mm-mm.
Texas A&M was outnumbered 10-1.
At least.
10-1. 10-1, Sean.
That's just what it was. The engagement of this fan base for the hardships they've endured. It's remarkable.
But I'll tell you one thing. I think if you polled most Nebraska fans, you ask them, would you rather have a better game day experience in the stadium or a winning product on the field? What's the answer going to be?
Winning.
So what is going to make that happen quicker? A better stadium or prioritizing NIL and using the funds to get better players? I think that's kind of the direct answer.
They could pump, I'm just going to throw a number out. I'm spending people's money, but they could pump $50 million into just amenities.
I think we're all in agreement on that.
Like, okay, the West Stadium, when you walk in there, that's the cafeteria, the training, the study hall place, that's going to be gone. They're moving that into the new building. Huge opportunity to kind of rework that into an entertainment space, a sports bar, a club area, you know, like
restaurant.
A huge place to enjoy on game days. Mm-hmm. Like, that's going to get done. Like, what can you do on that south underneath there?
What can you do there?
That's I think they've got to up the amenities. And what about the north? Like, what are they going to do where the current weight room's at? Like, what's some of the, like, no one has ever said what the plans are for. Like some of these, you know, like Trev Alberts called it the backfill. Like when they move out of there, we go big. What's the backfill plans? Mm-hmm. And that's where, can you find a way to use $50 million in that?
Mm-hmm. You could.
And do more with it. Or does that not get you very far? I don't know. But he did say, like, you don't want to be borrowing money in today's interest rates.
No, good point. No, Dannon said that.
Yeah, and you don't want to be borrowing hundreds of millions of dollars at 8%.
No. So, yeah, those meetings are going to be interesting. Boy, to be a bug on the wall on Thursday, to hear that initial reaction from Dannon, or to see his face. Ooh. And now, he has to know a little bit about it going in. But anyway.
Can you imagine the interest payments on like 7, 8% or 6%? I mean, like on hundreds of millions. I mean, it would be a lot.
Yeah, and you got to be careful as an athletic department.
They've never done that before.
No, Nebraska's well-heeled, but there's limits. I mean, there's limits to all this. Mm-hmm. And again, we can't emphasize it enough. There's sort of competing entities here. Do you give your money to the stadium project if you're a well-heeled donor, or do you give it to the NIL program?
1890.
And Dannon has tipped his hand already on what he wants to do.
He tipped his hand today, didn't he?
I think he said it today without saying it.
Yeah. I don't think that's a bad conclusion you came to.
What happened at Ole Miss with their pride? And I asked Trev Alberts this question the last time we talked to him on the show. About Ole Miss shelving their stadium project. Mm-hmm. And he didn't want any part of that discussion.
Mm-mm. No, he didn't. And yeah, it's a bit of a conundrum. Now some people are going to say, I got to cover our backsides a little bit. were you guys this, did you voice your opposition to this project as soon as it came out?
Well, if the money was there, I'd have no problem with it.
Yeah, but we were told that they were well on track to raise that money.
$225 million.
Conversation has changed.
Yeah, it's evolved.
$225 million they have to get privately.
Right. And
we don't even think they're at 100. They're not even close to 100 is our understanding.
Yeah. Or they might be, if generously, they might be at 100.
Yeah.
With 125 to go. It's the final bits that are really hard to come by. It's the initial surge you're going to get. Now, listen to me, like I've ever
thought. Well, I know the Go Big project, it took that kind of work to finish that.
It was hard.
Down to the wire.
Down to the wire. Down to the wire. So can you pull that magic trick off again in this climate? I don't know.
All right. When we come back, we will talk spring football. The Huskers started this week. We won't have access to practice till later in the week on Thursday. We'll give some early thoughts on spring next. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Husker Online Show, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
Back here on the Husker Online Show, Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Wash, and I suppose we'll talk some spring football as we are a week underway. But before we get to that, this segment, Steve Sipple, of the Husker Online Show is brought to you by who?
Sean, Larson Motors. If you're looking for a new vehicle, the weather's nice. You might want to take a drive to Nebraska City to Larson Motors. Larson Motors is one of the Midwest's only dealerships with all the major brands in one spot, one big lot. Finding your new Chevrolet, GMC, Hummer, Ford, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Ram never has been easier. Start your new experience today at LarsonMotorGroup.com. That's LarsonMotorGroup.com. Or at Larson Motors in Nebraska City. Larson Motors. What do I always say, guys? Real people.
Real deals.
Good job, Sean. All right.
We're getting that down. By the way, Abby's going to get a run at that. We're going to let Abby.
No, we're not.
No.
You know my situation.
Yeah.
Got bills.
Abby, forget that.
She's not on mic right now.
Oh, you're not on mic right now.
She's in the studio audience.
But what about my bills?
Abby's mic's not up. Let's talk spring football because it's been weird because it's been like the quietest start to spring that I can ever remember. We had the press conference the week before, mm-hmm. NCAA tournament. And both Fred Hoiberg and Amy Williams' teams, their contract extensions, the hiring of Troy Dannon. Generally, on March 26th, we're knee-deep talking like spring football, like it's August. But we haven't even really had to bring it up yet, which mm-hmm. I think is good. I mean, I think
it's healthy.
It's healthy to kind of – because that's how it is at most places around the country. I don't think you're just going knee-deep, but we will get access later in the week on Thursday. The team is off on the weekend, so they won't be back until Tuesday. But three practices will be in by Thursday, and I'd say the buzz and buildup is very low key, which I'm guessing Matt Rhule doesn't mind that.
It'll pick up.
What do you think, Rob?
Yeah, it'll pick up. I mean, but just with this whirlwind the last 2 weeks have been, I agree. This has been the most unassuming start of spring ball that certainly I can remember. It's probably the fourth biggest headline around the state when you just take into account all that's gone on the last couple of weeks, but it is a very important spring. It's the beginning of the critical between year one, year two off season, where as every coach in the nation will tell you, that's when programs generally make their biggest jumps. You have this quarterback storyline with your most high profile quarterback recruit in recent memory coming, yeah. And you've got all these new additions at wide receiver, these playmakers on the perimeter that we haven't had in so much time. And so you got a defense coming back that's absolutely loaded. You got your defensive coordinator back. So that unit should take a step forward. So once the dust settles on all this craziness, you know, basketball is now kind of easing into the offseason somewhat. You know, the athletic
director.
Yeah, somewhat. I say easing. Yeah. The athletic director situation is now settled. now we can probably start to really take that dive into Nebraska football the way that we normally would have weeks ago.
Yeah, it's just kind of happened organically, naturally, the way it's transpired. But it is interesting because you mentioned that Nebraska does have a good roster. Well, Matt Rhule said that. He said, one thing we've done well is we've put a lot of talent on the roster. Oh, okay, so let me get this straight. You've put a lot of talent on the roster, and five of your first six games are at home. Schedule early is very manageable. This could get really exciting. But you're right. So far, there hasn't been a lot of talk. Now, I would say this dawned on me when I was driving over here, and it's a common discussion we have, but it's still germane. What I will look for this spring is stars to emerge. You want all Big Ten, obvious all Big Ten players to emerge.
New faces.
Yeah, or old faces just getting that.
Like, remember the spring out of nowhere where Roy Helu, like, yeah, wasn't even really a thought.
Old faces getting better. Mm-hmm. That would be good too.
Development.
But who is it? Is there some all Big Ten guys on this roster or not?
The O line is steady, but I think on defense, you gotta look there.
Okay.
And hope maybe a Javon Wright takes a step forward, or, you know, Isaac Giffords of the world.
Yeah. Those are candidates.
We have an all ACC wide receiver that they just brought in.
Was he all ACC?
Second team,
yeah. Yeah, he could be a guy. Fedoni could be a guy, right? Couldn't Fedoni become that guy? He had 25 catches.
Isaiah Nayor.
Fedoni had 25 catches last year, yeah.
Now, Malachi Coleman had shoulder surgery, so he's going to be a limit. He's not going to be full go. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah Charles is somebody we've mentioned, but Jalen Lloyd. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's
a big running back they brought in.
Daldell.
Yeah, what's that look like?
And
He
won't have Gabe Urban Jr. and Ramir Johnson repping. Right. So mm-hmm. I think there'll be a real opportunity for Daldell to make a run.
Absolutely. I've told you guys, this is an example of spring ball. I've seldom been more interested in spring ball than I am right now. So it's been kind of weird.
Well, I think a lot of it too is just it hasn't been so saturated like it normally is, where you're talking about spring ball in March or February.
Right.
It hasn't been. So I think now that we have all these pressing questions, and the best part about it, we're finally going to get our first comments from the actual team three practices in. So they have a frame of reference of what these guys look like and what this picture looks like.
100.
And there's this guy on the team named Dylan Raiola. We haven't even discussed that, but
there is a guy on the team named Dylan Raiola.
That Raiola angle of that young quarterback is going to be the story of the spring.
How are we going to approach that, guys? I mean, I wonder about this. Do you, right out of the gate on Thursday, do you start asking guys about Raiola?
You have to.
Or do you wait a little
bit? You have to.
He's the story.
Give me a break. Like, he's a true freshman that could be the starting quarterback.
Rob just dropped a give me a break on me.
I mean, I don't even know if it's a conversation.
The pro day video.
Well, how do you do it, though? Like, do you say, how's he looking?
Yes.
You know?
Right out of the gate.
Just simple.
I mean, first you ask about the team. Like, assuming Matt Rhule talks Thursday, then, you know, you get the big picture stuff. How about Dylan? How's the transition going? You talked about how he's done this offseason and the mat drills and all that stuff. What's the football picture look like?
Yeah.
Is he holding his own?
The pro day video we posted, which was not meant to be a Dylan Raiola deal, the video of him throwing routes to the running backs and receivers of Nebraska's pro day workout guys has 25,200 views.
Oh, yeah. Thursday is also going to be a photo day, so we get to watch the first 30 minutes or so of practice, so we'll have more.
I'm gonna watch the safeties.
More.
And Sip and I feel
delve into the tight ends.
I mean, I do feel you and I were in Hawaii,
yes,
all week, and we got to watch Raiola every day for like 3 hours a day. So, you know, like, I'm not gonna be surprised by anything we see from him. We've seen him enough already. It's a matter of, is he ready for it all?
Mm-hmm. Right. And I mean, the reports we hear, you know, we just hear stuff like, because we cover the team, that he is, and Rhule mentioned this, he has 10:30 lifting a.m., but he shows up at 6 a.m. to throw, okay? He's a 6 a.m. guy, and he's encouraged receivers and tight ends to join him. I would love to know who's always there, mm-hmm. who's not, who he has to drag out of bed, who won't get out of bed. I mean, I'd like to know all that.
And those guys exist.
Absolutely. But Dylan, that tells you a lot about him right there, that 6 a.m., he's throwing. He doesn't have to lift till 10:30. I mean, I know he treats it like, he has said this, he treats it like, look, he's got the best facilities in the world at his disposal every day. I'm going to use them. That's these are. Look at this facility I got. It's like a big resort, and I'm gonna have fun.
All right. When we come back, we're gonna take some questions in the mailbag. Abby Barmore will join the show next. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
Back here on the Husker Online Show, Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washa. Let's welcome in Abby Barmore as we're taking your questions in the mailbag. Abby, where are you starting us off at?
First one, which position group, not including quarterback, do you think needs to make the biggest jump in order to maximize total win potential?
Receiver.
Bam.
Offensive line.
Bam. Two good ones. Of those two, I'm going to go with receiver. Because at receiver, if you look at last year, your leading receiver in terms of yards was Jalen Lloyd. Leading returning receiver. Mm-hmm. Leading returning receiver.
Billy Kemp was the leading.
Yeah, he was the leading receiver. We're only talking about like 237 yards, okay? The leading returner in terms of catches was Alex Bullock with 15. That's not – you need a lot more production
which
out of that position.
Historical context or like the last 20-some years, that might be as low of a returning production group as you can draw up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm sure there's one that would challenge that number, but not many.
No. So, no, you don't have a lot of returning production. I always am tempted to say offensive line. It was fine last year.
But
fine doesn't win.
But it wasn't great.
Yeah.
That's how you win in this conference.
Yeah.
Fine. So they weren't bad.
Fine.
They need to be great. For Nebraska to do what it wants to do, that offensive line, as with any team in football, Nebraska will go as far as its O-line takes them, especially with a freshman quarterback back there potentially.
Right. What I don't want to hear less of from you guys, from everybody, is SIP, they were fine. Okay, yeah, fine's 5-7, so let's just keep doing this, okay? Let's just keep coming here on Saturdays and talking about 5-7, because that's fine. Fine doesn't do it. It doesn't do it.
And Raiola's arm will not be showcased if he's not protected.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, that's true, yeah.
I mean, you have a golden...
He's not a great escapability quarterback.
He's athletic enough, but, like, he's not... I mean, he's got a golden cannon. You don't want him not protected.
Right.
Every position elevates when the offensive line is great.
Yep.
All right, next question.
What were your takeaways from watching Dylan Raiola and Daniel Kalen throw at Pro Day?
Well, to me, it was interesting how much that became the story of Pro Day. Pro Day was an interesting day because the university announced Dr. Gold as like their primary candidate to be the next president. They announced the hiring of Troy Dannon. And then you had these quarterbacks throwing to the Pro Day guys. Well, the quarterbacks throwing, Daniel Kalen and Dylan Raiola, almost took more of the spotlight from the pro day than the guys in the pro day. Because let's be honest, I mean, none of the guys in the pro day are surefire draft picks. In fact, Nebraska's going to be fortunate to get one draft pick this year. So I don't think there's a lot of interest from Nebraska fans to watch a pro day of guys that probably won't be picked.
No, there's not.
But there's a lot of interest in watching the future, throw them the football.
So when you watch Dylan throw right away, you see one of his first throws, he lobs it downfield effortlessly, probably 50 or 60 yards. The one thing we noticed in Hawaii, super strong arm. People know that. You can watch film and see that. But it's also smooth, how smoothly he moves, how smoothly he throws the ball. I'd almost sometimes like to see him be a little more urgent. And maybe if I'm watching this spring, that's what you'll see. But it's just
casual.
He's pretty casual. Well, he can be. He's a big, strong kid, though. That's another thing that really strikes you. God, he's big, strong.
Yeah, he's got one of those arms where he just kind of looks like he's flicking it, like you said. Then all of a sudden, it's just on a rope 60 yards. And I think you guys, like you said, you just watched him a ton. So, like, watching that video probably didn't do a whole lot for you. But for everybody else that wasn't in Hawaii, that was kind of the first real glimpse of him on this stage. And granted, it was just a pro day. But just to see him on Nebraska's practice field whipping the ball around to former Nebraska receivers – I thought that was notable.
Sipple, what did Gailu Tungavailoa say to you about Dylan again? the father of two.
The one thing that was most, to me, it was almost the most encouraging thing is he reads defense as well. That he's learned the game well.
He throws off his back foot well too when he has to.
But don't talk too much about that. Nebraska fans don't want to hear about a quarterback throwing off his back foot too much. We've seen that, Sean. Right? That produces a few times.
Turnovers.
Right? Yeah. So.
But he's got arm strength to do it.
He does. But the field reading aspect is critical. You can have all the talent in the world. We've seen it in the NFL. Who was the guy at LSU that flamed out with the Raiders? Robin.
Jamarcus Russell.
You are the man. Jamarcus Russell. You've seen quarterbacks with talent. Jameis Winston doesn't read the field well. I think he reads the field well, according to his dad.
All right. Abby, it looks like, let's see, do we have time? About two more. Yeah, what do you got?
Okay. What are your thoughts on Nebraska's new weight room?
Wow. We were doing our stand-ups the other day, and we got to see just a glimpse of it the day it opened, actually. And, man, just the sizing of it, the spacing of it. And, you know, we've talked to some recruits that have been around the country that have now been able to tour the facilities. Our own Brian Munson has. And, I mean, the recruit message was like, wow, there's nothing like this anywhere else. Good. And that's what they're going for. I mean, and look, the training table and the academic piece, that's not open yet. The coaches' offices aren't open yet. But the locker room, the recovery facilities, and now the weight room are full go. And that is – it's phenomenal. I believe 36,000 square feet.
And what does that help, Rob?
Recruiting. Development.
It helps you win.
Yep, development.
That money fits the criteria of what the new AD laid out today. The number one criteria will be, does this help us win?
Look at the
size.
That?
See that?
Mm-hmm.
That helps you win.
No doubt. I haven't seen it yet outside of the videos and some social stuff that Nebraska's put out, but I did really like that on all the squat racks, on the number 27 peg for on the racks, there's a little halo over the 27 on her in Sam Folds. It's little details like that. I love that stuff.
Ooh.
I love that stuff.
Nice.
There's an incline hill area, and I don't know if you can see it in here.
There's an incline hill area?
And that might be it right here, where, you know, it helps you run up inclines.
Yep.
And that was, I know, something that Zach Duvall, I believe, way back when wanted in there. So when you're doing kind of your workouts, you can do things on inclines and do things like so. They've thought this out. There's a walkthrough room. So it's big enough in terms of yardage. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe 20 yards or 10, you know, enough yardage where you can line up. And then there's a full screen. And so the look that you're going to be going against, you'll line up on a screen against the looks.
Nice.
Like a virtual walkthrough.
Nice. Nice. What's that help, Rob?
Development. Winning.
Winning.
Recruiting.
Guilty as charged.
Winning.
Winning.
That's the answer. This all helps winning. That money.
That's all that matters.
That money is spent toward helping you win.
Yep.
All right, Abby, final question.
Last one. What is your most memorable introductory press conference moment? There's been a few of them.
Moment?
Yep.
Go ahead, guys.
I'll tell you, for me, the Frost one still is up there.
Which one's that?
When he was announced.
Yeah.
When Scott Frost was announced that day.
And when he said the magic words, though, right? The Big Ten's going to have to adjust to us.
Well, and just the number of players that were all there, and like, I've never seen anything like that. And then, I mean, to see some of those same guys eventually turn on him, it was like, you know, you just think of the 5-year picture of all of that. But Frost, for me personally, he called me out a little bit for fun. You know, just in the highlight of the day is me being asked a question by you, Sean, and so I never heard the end of that from my friends.
Oh, I bet.
But that one is up there for me. I'll tell you one that it wasn't an introductory one, but the one where Steve Peterson fired Frank Solich.
Mm-hmm. Gravitate to mediocrity.
And then the players got up there. Bernard Thomas, Deontay.
Got up there.
Got up to the press conference.
Yeah.
Deontay Grixby, Bernard Thomas. And then they started asking Peterson questions at the press conference.
It was kind of menacing.
Like, I've never seen anything like that before.
It was menacing.
Like, and you had these players in the back with their arms crossed.
Right.
And then Bernard Thomas just starts going into questions at the press conference.
And Bernard was a menacing figure. He's a good guy.
We just saw him recently.
Yeah, he's very crunk juice.
Crunk juice.
Yeah, he was He was angry. He was angry. A memorable one for me was when they announced Doc Sadler.
Y'all like tennis?
Yeah. Or you watch? I thought he's. Yeah, y'all you watch tennis on TV. And what's your head do? It goes like this.
Baseline to baseline.
That's what we're gonna play like. And then they didn't really play like that, right?
They did not. They went on to average about 50 points a game.
But it was one of those things where coaches will bring that out at a press conference. Yeah. I bet he's not the first one to do it.
No. Y'all watch tennis.
It got me though at the time. I was young.
I'll stick with basketball. Tim Miles' press conference when they had it in that brand new Hendrick Center training facility, and he gets up there and it was like a total break from anything else where it's like his, you know, stand-up comedy routine. And as the years went on, like, he kind of recycled some of the same jokes, but they were all fresh jokes. He completely killed it, and it was like, wow, who, like, nobody who knew who he was, basically.
No,
he was
really.
Some guy that had a hot season at Colorado State. Mm-hmm. He arrives and absolutely just smokes the introductory press conference and kind of set the tone for a turbulent but entertaining next 6 or 7 years.
He had a good assistant coach, Craig Smith, with him early on, too.
He did.
Is he that coach of Utah?
Utah.
Do they make NIT, right?
Yeah, they're in the NIT. They played Iowa recently. I don't know if it's tonight or...
Yeah, he fits right with that Nebraska tradition. 19 NITs. He just wanted to stay where he feels comfortable.
No, we... unfortunately, though, we've covered a lot of press conferences.
And we've covered a lot of NITs. Yeah.
A lot of NITs. When I was a kid, I actually had a 19... It was a 95 when they won it. Or 96.
Oh, it's in that range, Sean.
I had the T-shirt when they won the NIT championship.
Yeah, I have a lot of NIT memories, I'll tell you that.
But that's what I thought today, like, during the Dannon press conference. Like, man, like, these have just become old hat now. Like, the messages at the podium, like, they don't do much for me anymore. It's all about substance at this. You can talk about how great Nebraska is, how it's all about the people, and there's no other fan base like this. Well, go do something with it. How about that?
Well,
how about that?
That's kind of where I stand right.
Well, I agree with you on that. It is
sorry.
It's kind of yeah. The whole Nebraskans are different. We're more helpful than people. I don't know. What do Iowans say to that? I don't.
Like, Bill Moose is like.
Other states not help their people? I don't know.
Bill Moose goes, I thought that until I went to the produce section at a Hy-Vee. He said that once. Remember that?
He was intimating what?
Just how pushy and
Moose.
Get the hell out of my way.
Yeah. That's good, Sean. Moose was funny.
Oh, he was funny. All right, when we come back, we got a lot of basketball to unpack. Both Robin and Sip were in Memphis.
Yeah.
Three players, Robin, have entered the portal now.
Yes.
So we'll get Robin's take on that and some key local in-state target names to watch. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
Final segment here of the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washett talking Nebraska basketball as memorable season ended in Memphis in a disappointing loss, Robin, to Texas A&M. Both Sip and Robin were out in Memphis. And I guess on the surface, Robin, it felt like a great draw, but it really wasn't a great draw when you size up the style. I mean, if Nebraska drew Utah State or... You know,
Florida Atlantic.
Florida, somebody else in an 8-9 game.
Mississippi State.
But
you could keep going.
I mean, Texas A&M was an 8-9 seed with the talent of, you know, a 4 seed.
And well, they were playing at a high level.
Yeah, I think the difference was, especially when we were trying to, like, analyze what Nebraska was getting itself into, we were looking at the season as a whole.
The 14 losses.
And the team that was playing basically November through January was not even close to the team that showed up in March. And they tinkered their starting lineup. They brought two new guys into the fray. And suddenly they were making shots like no other. And all that knock on them being a bad three-point shooting team, that wasn't applicable anymore because they became a very good three-point shooting team. And Nebraska saw that firsthand. And so when you pair the inherent disadvantage of Texas A&M's physicality, the number one offensive rebounding team in the country, and just the challenge that they present with their aggressiveness, and then they go and hit 13 three-pointers, Nebraska didn't stand a chance. So yeah, disappointing. The draw was tough, especially just the stage. We talked about it earlier, just how incredible that scene was.
Oh, God.
In Memphis. It just seemed like it was finally going to happen. And then not only did it not happen, it came crashing down in an absolute blowout defeat. So it's disappointing, but I don't think it still takes away from what this season was. Most importantly, it was a significant step forward for the second year in a row. You know, last year,
good point.
They came out of the drudges of college basketball to be 500 and at least be in the postseason conversation. This year, they took that even further to have one of their most successful seasons in program history, got back to the tournament for the first time in a decade, and did a whole bunch of firsts along the way. Now, you know, we'll talk more about just the off-season attrition and whatnot, but if they can maintain the majority of that core that got them there and continue to supplement it through the way through the portal, I mean, they got a chance to take another step to where you're not just getting to the tournament, but you're a higher seed, and you're winning not just a game, but maybe possibly games mm-hmm. once you get there.
Yeah, that's what you hope. What I'll always remember, Rob, is that Memphis scene. It was breathtaking. It was breathtaking going in. It was breathtaking the walk to the game. How many fans were there? We mentioned, we'll say conservatively 10-1 advantage Nebraska fans to A&M.
Over 5,000 fans easily, right?
Oh, wait, God, yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
Closer to 10?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Closer to 10. So it was a breath. They filled the arena, not totally full, but it was pretty good. And it was loud. And it just seemed like mm-hmm. the stage was set. Breathtaking. And then equally breathtaking was the fall. I mean, yeah. It was sort of amazing. Nebraska wasn't in the game the second half. Nope. They were not in
especially
that game.
With how they started.
Yeah.
And they started the same way they did against Indiana, just hitting everything. The crowd was absolutely electric. And what did Texas A&M do? They didn't blink.
You know what
happened?
And they
went shot for shot with them.
Yeah, that's what happened. Casey hit three threes, and you think, okay, here mm-hmm. we go. But then Wade Taylor IV, he hit three threes.
He can shoot it too, huh?
And you're like, okay, well, that cancels that out. Mm-hmm. And then it became pretty evident quickly that A&M had a big advantage in overall athletics.
I thought the sub rotation, Robin, when they brought in Wilcher and Hoiberg, the game changed. Like mm-hmm. those guys just could not guard.
Overmatched.
At that level.
Yeah, and A&M was just running the same actions on the perimeter to where they would just beat their guy off the dribble and
get a pass.
Force it up the rim. And they'd either make a layup or they'd miss it, and they get the rebound, and then make it a second chance point. So it was, again, just that's what Texas A&M does with that physicality in the paint. The real X factor, why that game wasn't even close, was because they paired that with elite-level three-point shooting.
And on the defensive end, what they did was they geared their defense towards taking away Rink, doubled him aggressively, very aggressive doubles. Now, I mean, Alec missed some shots inside that hurt him. If he doesn't miss five or six inside shots, A&M might have had to rethink what they were doing. And I'm not pinning this on Alec. He always plays hard. Josiah Alec always plays hard. He's a good player. He was a very good player for Nebraska. But that kind of allowed them to stay with that. They said, we're taking away Rink Mast. They took him.
His passing.
Yeah. Now, Rink's still a very good passer. I thought it was a dangerous game plan by A&M. Because Rink is such a good passer. He finds guys out of doubles. But they are so athletic. They cover mm-hmm. that. They cover for the double very well because they're so athletic.
All right, Robin, let's turn the page now because the transfer portal opened, and it opened quickly. Three Husker players, Blaze Cada, Eli Rice, and Ramil Lloyd, entered the portal. Any surprises of that trio for you, knowing this roster as well as you do?
I mean, nothing should ever be surprising in today's portal world, but of the three, Eli Rice was the one that kind of came a bit out of nowhere, just in the sense that they're so high on him. He was playing right away as a true freshman, and he had that high ankle sprain in the loss at Maryland in
late January.
And so that kind of derailed his progress. But to that point, he had shown flashes of something Nebraska could work with, and one of those down-the-road developmental guys that could blossom into a really good player. So, you know, again, that's just kind of the reality of the world. Guys like that often, especially when they're out of state, they don't stick around for 3 or 4 years and just kind of gradually get better when they can get opportunities elsewhere. But Ramil Lloyd, that was a no-brainer. Blaze Cada, I mean, I'm honestly going to wonder if he's going to play again. I mean, just given the fact that he had that ankle surgery last May and still was barely even practicing towards the end of the season. So almost a full year removed from his surgery, he's hardly even getting up and down the court.
So you're thinking a possible retirement.
Could be, or a medical scholarship or something. I don't know. But not a surprise. I mean, again, you kind of held on to hope that maybe they could get him, especially if he redshirted this year. You get 2 years left out of him. But I think it was better for them to turn the page. And I think a lot of that, too, is Nebraska is in a position now where I think they can go get better players. Like, this is a situation where now you have the most postseason success you've had, certainly under Fred Hoiberg, in 10 years that you can build off of. And now is the time to capitalize off that in the portal world where, you know, you can point to a lot of different guys and how they got better and how close this team is to really taking a big jump. So that could open some doors to them that might not otherwise be open. And, oh, by the way, when the fans are engaged like this, guess what comes? NIL support, where that was a big issue for them in previous years. Just they didn't like the product. Fans were hesitant to get really invested in it. Well, now everybody's all in. They know they love the direction of the culture, of the system and everything. Now you have that rally, and that is going to help, I think, open even more doors.
And, Rob, I mean, a lot of this, too, is retention. Mm-hmm. It's retaining.
That's the key.
Rink Mast and Bryce Williams,
Juwan Gary,
and Jamarcus Lawrence. That's your core.
And then finding two or three.
Am I missing somebody?
Yeah, those are the big ones.
Those are the big ones. Yeah, Aaron Ulis is still in that mm-hmm. fold. Go ahead.
So they're shopping in the portal, Robin. You got William Kyle, South Dakota State, Bellevue West guy in there. You've got Frankly Fiddler, another Bellevue West guy from Nebraska, Omaha. I know locally these are names people are interested in. You got any update or a feel for those situations?
Yeah, the Fiddler one, when he hit the portal, Nebraska was one of the first teams to reach out to him. Same thing with William Kyle. You know, I don't know. It's one of those things where you hear all sorts of different rumors, especially around here with in-state kids, that, oh, he's definitely going to come, and he's going to come with certain players that are at other Big Ten schools. I get the sense that, you know, it's just got to make sense for both sides. Like, sure, he's a really good player. Nebraska would love to have him, but will he fit what is already on Nebraska's roster and what they're potentially bringing back? Will the role that he would have here be big enough for him compared to other opportunities he might have at other schools that have greater needs for a 6'8 shooter wing? So that might be a hold up there for Nebraska, but I'd say a athletic, rim protecting, defensive rebounding big to replace Josiah Alec. And then a scoring guard, like an elite-level, day-one starter scoring guard to replace Keisei Tominaga. I think those are going to be the priorities. Okay. And then with Blaze out, that opens the door for maybe another center, like a true center. And they've reached out to guys like Terrace Reed, along with like every other school in the country, the Michigan transfer. So I think those are going to be your priorities. And right now, everything is so preliminary. Like, they're just getting feelers on guys. So we'll know probably by the end of the week, as this attrition starts to happen, what the biggest needs are, and then who the actual priority targets are going
to
be.
All right, lots to keep up on. No one better to follow than Robin Washit. He is the man with all things Nebraska basketball, especially at this time of year when there's a lot of roster movement and things happening. You're not a member of HuskerOnline.com. Check us out. We got a great deal. Get 2 months for $1. Simply use promo code NU1. To take advantage of this great offer. For Abby Barmore, Steve Sipple, Robin Washat, I'm Sean Callahan.
Thanks again for joining us this week on Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.